Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
If you are going home,
Welcome to the GLC with Gary Norris Gray. You can call in at 646-727-3649. Thank you, Black Athlete Sports Network, for sponsoring the Great Leopard Code. And it is now in its 10th year. Send news to Gary and Gray at blackathlete.com. Our Norris19 at att.net, Giovanni's Produce Store, El Cerrito, California, 510-235-1233 is one of the sponsors. Our new sponsor is Reality Sports Group in Reston, Virginia. Other sponsors are the New England Informer Magazine, with Doreen Wade, CEO, Boston, Massachusetts, Michael Lewis Ingram from BASN, and Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, Saturday afternoons and Wednesday nights on blogtalkradio.com. You can call 718-508-9216. At 718-508-9216. Get your Canadian, Philadelphia, New York room on with the Soul Patrol. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. May my second radio home, WCLM 1450, with Sports Talk by Cowboy Reggie and the Sports Talk crew. The little old mystery man on Saturday afternoons. He will make you smile, he'll make you laugh with music of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Listen to WCLM 1450 and WCLMRadioOnline.com. The heart and soul of Richmond, Virginia. Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba from WUFO, 1080 Buffalo, New York, young star Travis Singleton and his Kicks for Grace in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. If your kids are getting A's in school, then contact Travis on Facebook.com. Listen to Brother Anthony Johnson on the Anthony Johnson Show on Saturday at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern Time. Political Food for the Soul. Remembering Roland Rogers, CEO of BASN in New York City, and the family of BASN writers and broadcasters. Cannot forget the 707 and 609 for their support. Want to be a sponsor? Check in the Code Caravan email. You can email Gary N. Gray at blackathlete.com or nars19@att.net. Join the Cove Caravan, the Soul Patrol, Tag Nation, WCLM, on Facebook.com. Please visit our website, www.blackathlete.com, and get a different look at the sports world. You'll be surprised at what you find. Call the Gray Leopard Cove at 646-727-3649. That's 646-727-3649. Have a blessed day.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are at the crossroads. We are at the crossroads. Once again, the Republican Party has lost its mind as they passed a bill for the economy and to continue funding for the next 3 months. And the right-wing Republican Party is trying to undermine this. They add a immigration bill and Twinkle Toes, Golden Twinkle Toes, said no, we don't want that bill. They want to make it a political issue. How about getting something done? How about doing your job? That's what we sent you here for. But, you know, ain't nobody high enough. Republican Party's got to kick these people out because they're not doing anything. And you know what I'm talking about, Mr. Gates, Ms. Bulburton, and Ms. Green. They have to go. All three of them have to go. Because what they've done is undermine the government. And you can't do that. Can't do it. All right, we got to go to sports. We got Friday Night Lights. The fun is almost over as the NCAA has been to the weekend. And right now, the Bulldogs of Gonzaga had a 41-41 tie with Kansas and the Bulldogs of Gonzaga in game two of the week. Of the weekend. There's also the NIT and the CBI tournaments at the College Basketball Invitational and the National Invitational Tournament. As Charles Barkley was saying, not invited tournament. And CBI has 18 teams with Bethune-Cookman College and Delaware State from the HBCUs and Evansville from the Missouri Valley Conference. NIT. Missouri Valley Conference is doing quite well in NIT. And Indiana State defeats Southern Methodist University 101-92. And Bradley passes Loyola Chicago, one of the old Missouri Valley Conference members, 74-62. Bradley travels to Cincinnati today. Indiana State goes to Minnesota tomorrow. In NIT. NCAA, men, we go over Friday night. Number one seed took over, took command, as they usually do the first two rounds. They took command, blowing out Longwood. Purdue gets by Grambling, 78-50. UConn took care of Stinson at number one. They managed Carroll's, was a Bay Area team stumble. As Grand Canyon could defeat the Gales 75-66. Jane Madison beat the Wisconsin Badgers 72-61. The Aztecs of San Diego State beat UAB 69-65. Great game for the San Diego State Aztecs. This morning, the Wildcats keep the string going for the Pac-10. The Pac-12 is undefeated. As the Wildcats beat the Dayton Flyers 78-68. Flyers try hard for the press, but the Cats are too big and too strong. It was a rough game. It was a rough game. Close game for the Arizona Wildcats. The Pac-10 is undefeated so far, as men and women. Only one upset in the women's division. And Stanford had a fight with Lady Norfolk Barnett, and they beat Norfolk State 79-50. Oregon State defeated. I'm going to be clear. It beat Eastern Washington 73-51. And Colorado Lady Buffaloes went over the MVC, only MVC women representative, Drake 86-72. And MVC, they got beat up this weekend. So I don't know what they're going to do about next year. But they should get more teams in the NCAA. But not, you can't do that if you don't win. You don't win your tournament game. I hope Indiana State and who's anyone? Indiana State, Evansville, and Bradley. Well, Bradley losing right now, man. They have to do well in the tournament. It's meant to be in the NCAA tournament. You had to do well with the CBI and the NIT. UConn ladies to beat Texas State this morning, and no number one team has lost so far, men or women. NBA, McCullough, beat up Miami 111-88. And the Pelicans are on a roll right now. And I think they have a team that'd be dangerous in the playoffs. And Golden State Warriors is still struggling. They can't win at home. They're 18-19 at home. And usually beat their games at at home, and they're not doing that. And I'm going to go on the road. NHL, last night, Friday night, but wasn't it because, you know, some of the things that South Jersey this week, Dallas keeps moving over the aging Pittsburgh Penguins, 4-2, and the Colorado Avalanche make a playoff run with a 6-1 victory over the Blue Jackets. Many Saturday afternoon games, Philadelphia is hosting Boston Bruins. They lead 1-0 in the third period. Islanders are not being a nice host as they beat up on the Winnipeg Jets 6-1 in the third period, and Blues are traveling to Minnesota later on today. Tonight on ABC, the Rangers are hosting the Florida Panthers. WTA Coco Gauff wins in Miami, along with Sabalenka and Rublini. PGA, they're all tied up at the Masters Championship. Tillman, Phillips, and Zink lead the pack with a minus 6. LPGA, Mania Nam leads over Roni Ying and Magnus Dahlström by one stroke over the Zuri Park Championship at Burn Hills. Point of one, Lando Norris take the first practice at Australian Grand Prix. Verstappen is second and George is third. Going into the second practice, Charles Leclerc takes second, Verstappen takes another second, and Carlos Sainz takes third. And that means that Verstappen will be in second place at the starting gate. At the third practice, Leclerc in the third practice, and he gets the pole position of Verstappen right next to his side, and again, Sainz is the third. So there you have the three starting in the pole. Leclerc, Verstappen, and Sainz third, going into the Australian Grand Prix at 5:30 in the morning. Tomorrow morning, 5:30 Sunday morning. I'll be here by the morning in the morning and see some Formula One.
Tell me.
Let's try this again. Friday night. News of the week. Let the games begin on Tuesday, Wednesday night with the playing games. And now we must ask the question, is it enough for one and done to keep playing this? The coach for the University of Kentucky thinks so. Carbari turned his best 8 years ago. And it's not working because the University of Kansas lost the game. 5 runs on the floor. And then 2-5 the last 4 years. The NCAA and the NCAA tournament, when is it going to stop? And no, it can be done with small school versus big school. But small school is going to lose almost every time. And they do it again. The Blue Bloods, the Big Five, are going to take over the tournament after the end of this, after the end of the night on Sunday night. The Big Boys are going to be taking over. You might get one or two, like Longwood. Maybe. But they had to get by this weekend. And that is a real tall order. And back in the day, in HBCUs, major college did not want to play HBCUs, right? Because most of the black talent went to the HBCUs. And can you imagine Earl Monroe playing in the NCAAs? He would blow people up. Can you imagine Willis Reed in the NCAA? Playing with Grambling? Earl Monroe would win the gym. What happened was now, they're playing now because all the talent going to USC, UCLA, Ohio State, Michigan State. Yeah, I'm playing now, but back in the day, you wouldn't dare play Grammy. You wouldn't dare play with the gym. And when you're on the floor. And each school gets $1.9 million for each victory. Add that up. Back then right now is undefeated. But Arizona winning this morning and remain undefeated. On the women's side, Stanford and Oregon State both won. Remain undefeated. Right, let me go back in a week. Sunday night, Justin Fields goes to Pittsburgh. Now I have two quarterbacks in Pittsburgh with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh, and made Pittsburgh a much better team now. And that whole division, Baltimore with Jackson, Pittsburgh with Fields and Wilson, Cincinnati with Burroughs, and Cleveland with the commercial boy. It's going to be an interesting division. I think it's the best division in football. Best division in football is a central division. Monday, baseball goes to the San Diego Padres. From the San Diego Padres to the San Francisco Giants. Now I have a decent rotation. Long Beach State fires Dan Morrison, basketball head coach. And he turns around and goes to the NCAA with 5 straight wins. Monday, Wayne Simmons, the great forward, retires, a number will go up in the Rogers and Philadelphia, and the Flyers will honor him on April 13th. Tuesday, downtown boosted to San Francisco. After this is Minnesota, Arizona. Very good quarterback, and the Niners have a decent backup quarterback. Dennis, player files a lawsuit against the NCAA. Players can prevent from taking money, prize money after a victory. With the NIL, I don't know what the problem is with this. The NCAA should let it go. This was after University of Alabama golfer Nick Dunlap won a PGA Tour tournament in February, and he could not take the money. This is going to go to court. And the players are going to win this game. Okay, in the playing game, our loss to Wagner, in a squeaker, 9 seconds layup, 68-71, Colorado State Rams blew out the Virginia Cavaliers by 30 points. So Virginia Cavaliers, you can't talk about, we didn't get into the NCAA. Well, you look terrible with that 30-point loss against Colorado State. All right, Wednesday, remember as we told you about gambling? And we told you this is going to get out of hand. Well, Cleveland Cavaliers coach Bickerstaff revealed that he was threatened for the gambling. I bet you that was the first time. Coach Bickerstaff made it public, and anyone can go public, that some fans who been on the game threatened him. See, you had no business playing the game in the first place. Why are you threatening the coach? I'm being serious. Kevin Durant as a Shaquille O'Neal on the court. On the NBA's going list. Now number 8 on the list. Congratulations to Mr. Durant, but if he stayed in Golden State, you have at least 2 more rings. Oh my! Odell Beckham Jr. is looking for another team to play. He went to Miami Dolphins last week, and shame on Major League Baseball for doing what they did. They had opening day in the Pacific time zone in South Korea. Now, I don't mind you playing games in South Korea. I have no problem with that. I have a problem with opening day. You San Diego. On a broken glove error, the Dodgers win. The Atlanta Tigers swing. Keep dancing as they beat Montana State. They lose last night against Purdue. But at least they want to play a game. And they did it in overtime with a 69 overtime period. In AID, Alabama A&M Bulldogs get by the Governors of RTP 72-60. And they play later on this weekend too. On Thursday, the Padres defeat Yamamoto and Dodgers 15-11. So it was a split in Korea 1-1 Dodgers and Padres. Oakland, Golden Grizzlies, Oakland, not the Oakland and California, Oakland and Detroit. I was at the Wildcats of Kentucky on Thursday, 1876, and they took it to the Wildcats. They were scared of them. They played bump and run, and the Wildcats had no answer. And it was again, they're all freshmen. And freshmen, when they go up against 23, 24, 25-year-olds, remember, freshmen are 18 and 19. And this is what Carvalho did. It did well the first couple of years. But when it came down to the real deal, guess what? Oakland Golden Grizzlies did it to them. And they beat them 80-76. And they played one of the best second halves I've seen in a long time. And Duke came by the BYU Cougars. So every single bracket is now busted. I want to see if it's a perfect bracket. I don't think there is one. Friday, Auburn loses to lead, and then the game has like 78-76. Auburn had this game. All they had to do was slow it down. They didn't do it. And they ran fast and lost the game. Colorado gets back down undefeated. We had 102-100 over the Florida Gators. On the ladies' side, the only upset of so far, the Lady Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee upset the Louisville Cardinals 71-69. So it's going to be an interesting Saturday and Sunday at basketball. You got to be a basketball junkie after the end of Sunday. Your head is going to be bouncing around. Score right now, Gonzaga 54, Kansas 49 in the second half. Take a break.
Days aside, she'll turn the music on you.
information about the other sports. Currently, the Gonzaga Bulldogs are leading the Kansas Jayhawks 57-49 with 15 minutes to go. Second half, as Gonzaga making his presence known.
Well, you know you took my
Before you go on, what do you expect from a pig but a grunt? Everybody knew that Calipari was a scumbag, and all he did was prove what a scumbag he was. You look at it this way. Do you remember that movie that came out a while ago, back in the day, called The Fan? It starred Robert De Niro as some guy named Travis Bickle. And he just was a nut job. He would bet on shit. And, of course, he caught up with Wesley Snipes, who was the athlete, who we're going to see similar stuff. We're going to see similar stuff. We're seeing it now. We are seeing similar stuff. I'm trying to remember the first time it caught my eye. I think it was Donovan Mitchell when he was playing with Utah. Donovan Mitchell was going off on somebody score-wise, and he caught some crap from a fan in the stands who said, "I bet X amount of $1,000 on your ass, and you didn't come through." And it led to an altercation. It was brief, but the point was made. It's like, why would you bother somebody who's doing their work knowing it's illegal? And I mean, when I say illegal, I don't mean borderline illegal. Like, you'll get arrested. Yeah, yeah. He'll get arrested.
Well, Coach Bickerstaff of the Cleveland Cavaliers got a verbal threat through emails and cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And they mailed the Cleveland Cavaliers. See, I believe
look at it this way. Gambling was the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And now it's gotten to the point where you can't tell me that gambling is going to somehow determine the outcome of a game. It is.
Yeah.
Officials determine the outcome. The players determine the outcome. The combination of the two determine the outcome. But you got people betting in the NCAAs right now who are saying, "I bet $25,000 on your black ass. You better win," you know, or something to that effect. And they're going nuts and cuckoo on this. This thing is on steroids. It's going way beyond what everybody thought it would be. And they'll say, if you had a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. No, the problem is 1-800, you're out of damn time. You're too late.
Yeah.
You're too late. The situation is
because Little Gould declined NIT men.
Yeah, because there's not enough money.
And the school's very interesting. It's St. John, Memphis, Pittsburgh, Mississippi, Indiana, and Oklahoma.
Yeah, like I said, it's not enough money. That's buck wild. I mean, sometimes
I never seen it before where a school declined an IT bid like that.
Now, I've seen that before. I've seen where a team gets butthurt because they were like 29-4 and somehow they lose in the NCAA playoffs and they don't represent their conference. So because of that, they weren't in a strong enough conference, and the NIT takes. We've seen that. We've sometimes seen schools say, "Thank you, but no thank you." But the bottom line is, it's not enough money. And if the school thinks it's not worth their time financially, they'll say that we're not going to do it. They'll say we won't go. It's not financially feasible for us.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Pac-12 is they're undefeated so far.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That means 1.6 times 6
It's a lot of money, Gene, but still, you're going to see fans get caught up. It's one thing to bet on a game. It's another to bet so much money that you take a personal hand in what's going on. And you can't tell me you haven't seen games where somebody who bet money has lost their bunny rabbit blinking mind and they're messing with the officials because they're caught side or giving the stands, you know, affecting the outcome because they want to hassle the players or hassle the situation, cause more attention to come to themselves than the actual game.
Well, I saw three or four really bad calls the past 3 days. I don't know what to do about them. One call to a ball game, right?
Yeah.
And what they need to do, I said them in the NBA too. They gotta take the division because they like it, but we get paid too.
But you gotta remember what Professor Fred said Wednesday. He said you gotta watch out for the calls, the first three in the first half, and the first three or four in the second half. Just like we made the statement that in the Super Bowl, there were probably bets on every snap that was taken. There are probably bets every time team comes down the floor, whether it's the visitor or the home team in the tournament, because there's that much money at stake. We don't really add it up, but when you add all the games together, it's a lot of money. Think how much money was bet on Kentucky to stick around.
Oh,
for the
final four. I was thinking about it too. Oh, yeah.
And ironically, they got taken out by Oakland. Not Oakland, California, but Oakland, Michigan.
Oakland, Detroit.
Yeah. Oakland took out Kentucky. And normally, that wouldn't be a headline. But in terms of the gambling, it's huge. I mean, there's only 400 players, only 400 brackets left, clean brackets. And you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, have put brackets together on the tournament. And the Kentucky boss took out a shitload of people from the very beginning. And nobody really knows what the outcome is, but there are 400 people or so who are happy as pigs and shit because they locked up and Oakland got the upset.
Michael, I've been watching the NCAA for years. I have never seen a bracket of all four of them busted.
Yep.
I never seen it before.
You're going to see it. You're actually going to see it again because just as the men get into it, as Tony made the insight a couple of years back, the women's bracket is even getting more interesting. You know, Caitlin Clark has got everybody talking and the women's game is getting a lot of buzz. Dawn Staley may have the best team in South Carolina.
The only
undefeated
team in the NCAA, folks.
Right.
Only
and
one.
LSU may have something to say about things before it's all said and done. Look at what's happening. It's money, money, money. And ain't nobody complaining about being broke because everybody's getting paid.
We got Tony in the house, brother.
How are you?
Oh, I get in there. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't stand Gonzaga.
Kansas shouldn't have been there anyway after that bogus call from the other night, but that's a whole other ball of wax. But
don't give me that,
you know.
Kansas beat SIU on a bogus call years ago.
Well, you know, it's to a certain extent, even though, you know, there has, you know, other than, I guess, some of the other seeds. But see, some of these other higher seeds winning to me is an upset. James Madison is 31-5.
All right.
Why they were a 12 seed, again, it just speaks to the haves and the have-nots of the tournament in regards to that. So far, for the most part, everything's gone to chalk. I know UConn, I have to admit, and I was saying this before, I probably over the last few years, I've watched more of the women's tournament than the men's. I mean, I watch the men, but if I have a choice of the better game to watch, I will always go with the better women's game, personally. But you know, this is a good time of the year. Glad to see what Grambling was able to do. I'm sure the Howard coach is kicking his dog after getting three shots at the end to put the game in overtime.
That was so sad.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, one of the, you know, it's like what Henry Hawk says. One of these years. I'm saying one of these years,
somebody's going to be 90 years old, but we'll
see again. You'll probably see it on the women's side before you see it on the men's side. Norfolk State was given a 15 seed, but they didn't do them any favors. They had to play Stanford at Stanford. And you see that Jackson State got a 16, but they had to play UConn at Stores. So you know it is what it is. But look, the tournament in and of itself is always going to generate whatever. Now I can be a real should I be a real butthead and say, who does Ohtani have in his pool?
Ooh, we ain't got there yet, but yeah.
The alleged reason why he was fired is the thing that's causing the most thing, because they're saying, now again, the story is saying that he helped cover this guy's betting, his gambling losses.
Right.
Now, I can hear Dr. Martin Luther Manfred in the background going, damn, because if there's more to it than just this, guess what? He's got a betting scandal on his hands.
I knew
one more. With DraftKings and FanDuel in the background, I knew it was going to happen.
Well, see, also, Gary, it also speaks to, now, you know, these games, you know, they started the season over in Korea this week. Now,
right.
Let's face it, all of these four sports leagues have been, you know, pardon my French, they've been whores for the foreign dollar.
And part of that
has been the gambling. Now, personally, I don't know what legal and illegal betting, if any, goes on in foreign countries. I can't make a claim on that. But when you open that glass ceiling, don't be surprised if a little rain comes down. And let's put it this way, right now, karma is peeing on MLB If there's more to it than that. And again, look, here's the thing. They're going out of their way to market Ohtani, and especially for this series. This to come up the way it did, it's literally like a porcupine in a nudist colony for them to come up like this now.
Tony is so right. It's funny because I was listening to the broadcast from Wednesday, and I was like, yeah, it was nice to talk baseball for a little bit and whatnot. You know, like maybe baseball will finally get out of its funk. And then this bitch. It's like, what the fuck? You don't know what the hell's going to happen. And we can't poo-poo what's been talked about here because a lot. I mean, it's a lot of money. If he bet $4.5 million in gambling debts, you can imagine how much it was to start. If you talk about the NCAA and how much money was lost just by Kentucky getting kicked out by Oakland, it's astronomical. I used to think Super Bowl was the biggest handle. I stand corrected. The NCAA is the biggest handle. It's a lot of fucking money. And you know a lot of cash was lost when Kentucky went down to defeat.
Well, the thing is, Mike, that gap between the NCAAs and the Super Bowl, it's probably a little closer than we think now because of DraftKings and FanDuel. Because remember, back in the day, the exotic bets were usually done by quote unquote non-reputable companies. Right. Now, you know, they're doing. You got to remember, there's exotic bets going on every day on pro sports. So I saw one of the ads during the tournament. Where they offer there's a parlay with NCAA where you can pick a particular player, and it will say if you will bet that Caitlin, let's just use the Wimbledon game, Caitlin Clark. Now I think Caitlin averages I want to say like 20-25 a game. Now, you can bet that will she exceed that or will she not get it?
Right.
And that's one of the exotic bets. And see, it's not just for Caitlin Clark. It's for individual men's and female players. Now, that's also done on the pro level. Like, you know, how many shots on goal will the San Jose Sharks have tonight? You know, over under, you know, 10 or 25 or what have you. Well, I'm just using that as an example. But see, with that, Gary, you could say, let's say the line is, average for a game is usually, 25 shots a game for most teams?
Yeah.
Roughly. Let's say, okay, if you don't think the Sharks are going to put a whole lot of shots on net and it's 25, you could say, okay, I'm going to bet the over. I'm going to bet the under. I just use them to prove the point in the sense of where this is going. And now when you hear all this stuff that Coach Bickerstaff out of D.C. is talking about, it can't be surprising anymore because always sort of on the surface, but now there is a rogue element that's there. And I think it's worse in the college game because, here's the thing. they're already trying to kill. They've been trying to kill NIL from day one.
Yeah.
So now to go along, to go along with this for the tournament, that just adds to it. And what's funny to me is they always make the kids out to be to be the ones but see, trust. You've got to know that there are coaches, and I don't think I'm being cynical when I say this. You've got to figure that there are some coaches that are either in the tournament or not in the tournament that are doing some action.
Let me digress for a second because I think it got my insane white men mixed up. Who was the nut job who Robert De Niro played in the movie The Fan?
It wasn't anyone famous. It was just a character. It was just a particular character.
Okay,
I think
Travis Bickle, that was the guy from Taxi Driver, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So it's not Travis Bickle, but there are people who did a lot of what De Niro's character did in the film.
Absolutely, and are still doing it. As far as I'm concerned,
they're doing it now, and they're doing it to the detriment of the tournament. Are they going to actually say something about this? Because this is not pro basketball. I can remember when Donovan Mitchell had that set to with a fan who lost his mind because he had the nerve to tell Mitchell, I bet money on your black ass, and he must have been losing. But the point was, he got in his face and actually said some shit. This is scary.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to lose their life behind this bullshit.
Sure. And let me be devil's advocate a little bit because see here's the thing. Yes, think about it. Kentucky, they're blue blood, but they weren't. They weren't a number one seed. Duke, but my point. Carolina's the number one seed. Duke's not the number one seed. But see, think of the four number one seeds this year: Purdue, UConn, Houston, and who did I forget? Oh, Carolina. Now, you could make the argument that all four of them are blue bloods, but do we consider Yale a blue blood? Do we consider James Madison a blue blood? It's different. Yeah, people are going to identify with the big name schools. You know, there's no way around it, especially on the men's side because they've tried. You know, I've always said ever since Butler and BCU and George Mason made their runs, I think collectively the NCAA said, you know, they basically did like Black Panther on Black Jeopardy. Oh hell
That's
no,
right.
Karen, we're not going to let you back in this tournament again.
But
with that being said, we've seen other teams not so much get blue blood status, but they become made men, so to speak. Sort of like Clemson pre Dabo Sweeney.
Right. You know what I think you're talking about, Tony? There's certain schools where they become smart plays. All of a sudden the inside track goes to these people and you're saying that this guy, Shaka Smart, is a good coach, and Virginia Commonwealth is a live underdog. Mary Sage Chase Madison is a live underdog. George Mason was a live underdog. And it's not sustained because it hasn't lasted a bunch of years. Gonzaga was an excellent example of somebody that came in as an underdog.
And they became a made man. Mm-hmm.
And
they became
a made man, exactly.
And that's what St. Mary's trying to do right now. St. Mary's.
Sure. See, here's the arrogance of it. I don't, you know, this story has been somewhat under the radar. Six teams turned down an NIT bid, including St. John's,
Pittsburgh,
and a few others.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing. See, here's the thing, though. They're turning down money. I mean, yeah,
exactly.
I get it. You look. We all, you know, a lot of them look at the NIT as the nothing important tournament. You know,
exactly.
I get that. Mm-hmm. But that being said, how you gonna come to your constituents in a sense and say, we're gonna turn down this free money and not go?
Wait. Tony. The end of the afternoon. In the end state, men's basketball coach said, I'm gonna quit if we don't get the NCAA that deal.
Well, is this a Dabo Sweeney? I'm going to quit and then I'm going to backtrack on it or whatever. Because they've advanced to the second round in the NIT. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, see, again, it's, you know, I used to always say the only time a politician isn't lying is when he's not talking. But we're starting to get a lot of that with a lot of these coaches, and especially during this time of the year when, because the one thing that goes on, yes, we all know it's the NCAA tournament, but see, when you get to the Final Four, you basically have, it's like the NABC, the National Association of Basketball Coaches, have their yearly convention at the Final Four. And notoriously, there's a lot of brown nosing and chicanery. Guys and gals are jockeying for positions to get new head coaches, to get new ADs, to make arrangements with other schools for schedules and all that other stuff. Now, I say all that to basically say, the fact that you had these, dare I say it, quote-unquote, blue bloods turn down NIT money because it wasn't NCAA money, I think it speaks more to the arrogance. Now, remember, these are the same, especially Mr. Patino down in St. John's. These are the same cats that are bellyaching about NIL in regards to, you know, I saw Gino Auriemma down here has basically said that NIL, you know, everybody has treated NIL like it's the ruinization of colleges, you know. Basically Nick Saban, you know, said Mississippi goddamn on the way out in regards to, you know, quitting his Bama job. Now, mind you, he's still cashing them seven-figure checks, mind you. What the hell? And remember, this is the same sport that Jimbo Fisher is being paid almost $50 million not to coach. They talk out of this way. There is so much hypocrisy being spewed during this period of time during the tournament because the NCAA uses this as their way of dealing with their non-reality, because look, they know that their days in the sun are numbered. But the men's and women's basketball tournament is their last bastion of where they can really make their money.
Yeah.
Which begs the obvious. If you've got millions of people playing brackets, theoretically, on the tournament.
23 million brackets.
Let's just say for argument's sake, a bracket's a dollar. So $23 million went into the tournament, and Kentucky loses to Oakland. Now, there's only 400 clean brackets left. If you can count, that understands the source of the problem. Look how much fucking money went downhill in 2 hours.
Sure. Hey, the first ever bracket that I, the first ever NCAA bracket I did, you know, when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, I lost three of my final four teams within a 2.5 hour span.
And I swore
on my Mad Magazine that I would never do the tournament again.
There you go.
But
Mad Magazine.
But you know, to be fair, now I've been lucky enough. I actually won a small bracket years ago when I was living in Carolina. But I also Also, 1 year, I had Michigan beating North Carolina in the final, and a certain number four, who will be held nameless, messed it up for me to win the tournament. But
number four.
The one who got away with doing the curly shuffle, but then called it an illegal timeout.
Okay.
I played my share of brackets. I've only won one. I won one bracket when I was at the Philadelphia Tribune. That was in Florida. One, thank you, Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
But the bottom line in all this is that we're talking humongous. This is beyond goo gobs of money. This is beyond goo and gob. It's unreal amount of money. If we believe that the house always wins, can you imagine the cleanup that's happened just now? I mean, the Kentucky lost. Somebody was happy as a pig in shit. And we're not talking about the directors of the tournament.
Yeah.
Las Vegas is probably turning cartwheel. Big time.
Mm-hmm. Network news,
Chicago, just defeated Kansas, 89-68.
Okay, cool. Now Kansas,
I
believe, was a... Mike, what I like about Gary is that he doesn't hold a grudge. You know, it's just water off a Daffy Duck's back for him. It's not nothing. But see, again, now Kansas was a 2 seed or a 3 seed?
It was a three.
And Kentucky was a 3 as well. See, here's the thing. If you're gonna have a clean bracket, so to speak, you gotta get out of the first you basically survive the first 2 days. After the first 2 days is you're just trying to get points, and you're just to see my mentality was always you get where you get a lot of your points are going to be day one and day two.
Yeah.
Because invariably there's going to be an upset. Now, the thing is, how many more higher seeds are going to get beat between today and tomorrow? Because exactly. once you get to the Sweet 16, then pretty much, you know, put it this way.
They play the barring form.
Some, exactly, exactly. So far, you know, the whole thing is you want to have all your Final Four teams, or at least as many of them as possible, by the time you get to the Sweet 16. Because
yeah,
that's when
yeah.
there's more of an opportunity of the cream coming to the top. Now, yes,
yes.
we've seen what VCU and George Mason and Butler have done because they beat, you know, they beat like a couple of twos, a one, and what have you. Now, when Arizona won the title a few years back, I want to say they beat three number one seeds. I'm not sure. This is counting the championship game. I don't think anyone's ever beaten three. Well, not, no, you know, no, I take that back. They beat. I want to say they beat at least three number one seeds, counting the Final Four as well, because they beat a couple of number one seeds to win the title. But
yeah.
again, even with the first round upsets, more than likely the quote unquote cream comes to the top once
True.
You get to that second round. And even more so now with the women, it's a little different because a lot of it we've seen a bunch of 8s, 11s, 12s, and you know, they had the first 16 beat a 1 long before the men did, and now it's happened
yes.
with the men, what, two, three times now, I think, over the years?
That's right, yeah, three times it's happened.
As a conference, ever going undefeated? I don't think that, right?
I would have to look it up. I know there's been some teams that have gone 6-0. I know there's been some conferences that went 6-0, like on the first day, something
right.
or something like that. I don't think there's ever been a conference that's been undefeated during the entire.
No.
Even when the Big East sent those three in 1985, I don't think all the other teams that made it that year, because if I remember correctly, I want to say at least 6 or 7 of those teams made the tournament that year, and it just so
That's
happened
right.
that Georgetown, Villanova,
Seton Hall, Boston College.
That's, you know, 85 was literally, that was like a vintage. And remember, they were still only 6 years old at the time
That's
when
right.
that happened. You know?
That's when the five families couldn't ignore the Big East anymore. The Big East kicked everybody's ass that year, and three Big East teams make it to the Final Four, and it's like, shut up. You got to
yeah.
include them.
Yeah.
They were, as you would say, Tony, they were made men.
Well, and see, it was the, they almost did like made men to the 49th power, because think about that. A 6-year-old conference had three teams in the Final Four in its six year in existence. Now, see, there was jealousy amongst the then Blue Bloods because
yes,
they basically
yes.
thought it was a made for TV conference. But
yes,
it
yes.
literally like the perfect storm, because they began in 79, which was
yep.
also literally months after a certain four-letter network started and needed programming.
Mm-hmm.
So you could make the argument, yeah, it was sort of a made-for-TV conference, but that being said, they did the work on the court, because remember, by the time you've got now, by its third year, you had a Georgetown team that was in the final.
Yeah.
And they eventually won it 2 years later, and then they were yep. part of the Big Three a year later. So
That's
they
right.
earned everything that they got. Now
earned
the only other yeah literally they you know they just they they were they were They were John Houseman before all the commercials. They earned that. They truly did. Now, the only other conference that I can remember that did that sort of work that quickly, and I think you may remember. Remember the Great Northwest, the Great Northwest Conference, when it was basically all those. It was a conglomerate of like Metro Conference with Louisville and Cincinnati. Took a couple of Missouri Valley teams as well. One year, if I remember correctly, Cincinnati and Louisville made the Final Four year. And that was the Cincinnati team, that was with Nick Van Exel. And the Louisville team, I want to say it was Juwan Wagner. I could be wrong, but that's about the closest.
And I used to Louisville three overtime, man. I forget that.
Yeah.
Three overtime.
Yeah. And see, even the Metro was a mini MVC because they took about 3-4 teams from the Missouri Valley to form the Metro.
When Texas, Louisville, Georgia?
Didn't Louisville begin in the Metro? Didn't Missouri begin in the MVC, guys? They were an original member, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I thought so. But yeah. It's you know, the thing is now, people are more conscious of trying to pick an upset because if you look at all these quote unquote analyzing and over analyzing, they're not talking so much. They don't talk so much about the top seeds. They talk about, well, who's an 11 who could beat a 5? Who's a 12 that could beat a 7?
Therefore, it's more,
let's face it, it's more done on a gambling level to a certain extent as opposed to more about game and life.
They talk like gamblers. Their analysis is totally devoid of player A as opposed to player B. They talk strictly angles, logarithms, money. They don't have pros to use as a basis for consistency. As good as the great college teams can be, they don't do it on a nightly basis like a pro team does. And if a college team that was really good had to face a pro team and a pro team schedule, they'd get their ass whipped. It is about money, always.
I'm glad you brought it up. Because when they play all conferences, they play back-to-back games.
Right.
And during the regular season, they play either Monday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Saturday.
Sure.
I'm looking annoyed with the NCAA when a conference regular season title and then lose the tournament game.
Mm-hmm. And they get punished for it. To me, they've already said that in a sense the regular season doesn't mean anything when they want it both ways. You'll lament about the fact that they don't want to see the Cinderella teams do well, but they'll take the team that Grambling beat the other night. They had a less than 500 record, if I remember correctly. But they won the conference tournament, so they, you know, so this, so they were there. Now, they put them in the play-in game, mind you, but still, they were in the tournament.
In 1994, SIU Salukis had 27-6 record.
I knew you were going to say that shit.
26. They lost the championship game to Indiana State. They didn't go to the NCAA.
And all
the,
and all they got was that stupid T-shirt, basically.
Well,
but see, that's happened. That's what happened. That's what happened this year with the Norfolk State men. Norfolk State men won the MEAC regular season,
that's right.
But
that's
they
right.
got beat by Howard in the semis. And what's even worse is that they didn't even give them an NIT bid. That's the thing that
right.
that's the thing that gets you. And see, that's what pisses me off, because you got these quote unquote semi-blue bloods that will turn down an NIT bid like they're Madam Yes, because they're way too important to play in the NIT. Yeah, we're way too important to play in the NIT. But meanwhile,
well,
Norfolk State had to play in the CBI Insider.
CBI.
Let's not forget. Every year, and that's how this is how political this thing has become. They have the so-called bracketology. This bullshit is about this is about whose palms get greased to get in the tournament. Every year we hear about the damn bubble. Who's on the bubble? Who's soaping the bubble? It's bullshit. You know, we know somehow somebody's going to drop the soap, and they're going to get more in the bowl. They're going to get screwed. And unfortunately, like Gary was saying with his beloved Salukis, there have always been schools that put up immense numbers but get disappointed. If you remember, the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, about 2 or 3 years, were winning 30 games every season. And they come up short in the championship game for that conference or whatever, and they would end up getting left behind. That's why this bracketology thing is the real deal. This is where they make the deal and ask for the Godfathers to give them an offer that somebody will not refuse and get them in the tournament, because all they have to do is win one game and they got paid.
And see, you gotta remember.
Like, 2 weeks before the season ends, they have this zig team in, zig team down.
How do you know this? And what kills me is that they're doing bracketology before the conference, before the teams start conference play. And I'm like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
And see, here's the thing. Here's the other nasty secret that I think people forget. Now, if you remember, back in 1979, back in the 80s, the Mouse would have some of the games on the tournament. You know, they used to split it with NBC.
Yeah,
once CBS basically took it over, how they appeased them was they said, well, you guys can be the home for championship week, which is all of those conference championship games that's where the deals are made, Mike, because they make such a big thing about so-and-so winning their tournament and everything else. And see, look, I want to be honest with you. I go back and forth with the conference tournament. It's fun to watch to an extent and everything like that. But that being said, the way it is used or misused as far as I'm concerned in regard to the tournament, because I'm sorry, you should not, you know, a lot was made of NC State winning 5 straight games in a row the ACC tournament.
Oh,
and it's like, okay, great, congratulations. But why should they be rewarded for basically a five-day stretch as opposed to their overall season?
That's exactly right. Why should they be rewarded? This is not just college ball we're talking about. This is pernicious, and it goes down even to high school ball. Here in New Jersey, we had Camden County win a game in the last shot to a team from Manausquan. Anyway, long story short, the shot went up, and the officials had to decide, was the shot up before or after the final buzzer?
Yeah.
It was determined that Camden won, even though the other team had gotten the shot up. Now, the point is, if the officials could get in there and choke Manausquan from getting to this other tournament, can you imagine what they do when it's for money? This is for titles.
Yeah.
But college ball, pros, this is money we're talking about. And
yep.
That's where the corruption lives.
And to be honest, Mike, in some of these states, high school basketball, I'm looking at you, Indiana, is huge. It's almost bigger. You could make the argument because think of all the great players that have come out of New Jersey over the years. You know, and remember, this is the state where St. Peter's, who made their run a couple years ago, was coming out of as well. So it's a whole vibe. It's a whole vibe. And see, thing has always been, see, if you get rid of the conference tournaments, one, the mouth ain't got no programming for a month.
Which I don't have a problem with.
Exactly. But it's all, you know, those teams, unfortunately, it's those quote unquote, dare I say it, teams on the bubble that will use the tournament to, in a sense, get in and what have you. Now, it's funny. Now, about 10 years ago, and I liked the idea that they did it. They did a thing during the non-conference season called Bracket Busters.
Right.
Basically, you had a handful of these quote-unquote mid-major schools play each other, and, you know, depending on how well it would help you. Because, look, what's the thing that they always harp on? Strength of schedule and RPI
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And because James Madison won just as many games as UConn this year. UConn's
the
number one overall seed. James Madison was a 12th seed. Now, again, you want to get into the semantics of the better schedule, the better conference, all of that. To me, that's debatable because I think – I truly think, especially on men's college basketball, the field is a little more level now because not everybody can go to Carolina, not everybody can go to UCLA. And when you realize all shenanigans going on with them trying to come up with these mega conferences, at some point, to me, I think it's a lot more even now than I think they're willing to admit. That level playing field, the gap between the quote unquote blue bloods and the mid majors, I think that gets smaller and smaller every day because every year we see a handful of upsets in the first round. And see, my thing is always, are they really upsets or is this just the tournament committee, you know, misfeeding these guys.
Exactly. Are they eating crow because they underestimated the team that got together and put their game together at the right time and made somebody shut up? Or even worse, is it a situation where a team is considered out of the mix because somebody really doesn't want them there, and they start winning, and they can't lose, and they went to a point where, all right, you got to say, get them in or get them out. And if the argument is to get them out, you're going to have to say, based on what? Then you go to that whole bracketology bullshit about strength of schedule, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The bottom line is there's too much money. I mean, too much money in this whole thing now for it to go backwards.
And see, the scuttlebutt that you always hear every year, and we heard it when the tournament was 32, we heard it when it was,
48.
Was this gone from 48 and now, 68. Now the scuttlebutt is, well, maybe we should just expand the tournament. You know, I think right now is about as much as you can really expand it without it getting freaking ridiculous.
Because basically, 74 would be nice.
I think it would be too much, Gary. I like it now because 64 sounds about right. Or 68, I guess, because you're counting the four teams in the play-in games. Because, see, especially with basketball, I mean, at some point these kids do have to go to class, So, I know.
Football thing is going to 14 teams, right?
No, they're going to 12. Going to 12. They're going to go to 12. But unfortunately, that barn door has already been opened and closed, and you're never gonna get Arnold the Pig back into his thing. with that being said, but see, with basketball, it's different because, like you said, they're playing. It's not like everybody's playing during the day. There's night games. And see,
March is also spring break. Over the spring break,
absolutely. But see, here's the thing. Now, back in the day, the NCAA wouldn't play on Sunday night. Matter of fact, BYU almost lost a bid a few years back. When they said we do not play on the Sabbath, especially on now they relaxed it a little bit and said, okay, we'll play Sunday during the day, because Brigham Young doesn't mind watching a little hoop on Sunday apparently. But no, it's they've gone so far away from what they, they want the tradition 1 minute, but then they talk out of the other side of their wallet the other
minute. You got that right.
And see, here's my thing. I got no problem with you wanting to make your money. I get that. But my thing is, be real about it. Don't be hypocritical about it. That's the thing.
Exactly.
If you're a greedy bastard, say it with a capital G and a capital B.
Exactly.
Yeah, literally. What's the Daffy Duck line? I may be a coward, but I'm a greedy coward. Be the greedy coward. Be what the old Dennis Green line. The NCAA is exactly who we thought they are.
Exactly. Well, we got the music mix up coming for you Sunday. We're gonna throw some tunes together Sunday night, 9 PM Eastern, and always sit back and relax, enjoy some beautiful music. Wednesday we have a special show for you guys. Don't miss it. And a special time, 8 o'clock, So it'll be very informative, and hopefully the fans will pick up on what the brother, our guest lecturer, has to put down.
All right, Tony, what you got?
I'm looking forward to the real opening day this Thursday. I caught a little bit. I caught the tail end of a couple of those Dodger Padre games, but no, the real, as far as I'm concerned, the real opening day comes up on Thursday. So you know, we're definitely looking forward to that. It'd be interesting to see what kind of how the weather's going to cooperate or not.
Yeah, it's crazy over the country right now.
Well, right now, only those mysteries where, as I'm speaking to you, the only thing missing is Noah and two of every kind of animal, because it's basically been raining, you know, crazy.
I just saw two warthogs grunting by, so yes, it's going like that. They're in twos.
Yep. And they missed it. They didn't, and they didn't have a ticket for the next one either. That's the sad part about it.
No joke.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. Good show. And NCAA, one more weekend, and that's it. It's over.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, thank you, man. All right, we're gonna try to get out of here. Thank you for going to the show. Catch you next week and tomorrow night. Bye.
And I can't stop thinking about the way things used to be. And I can't stop thinking about the love that you made for me. And I can't get you out of my head. How in the world would I begin to let you walk right out my life and blow my heart away? And I can't stop caring about the I'm dying.